very rested, and I was almost ready to doze off. That probably wouldn't have been a good thing, since that would have been snoring before long. No. What's that shiny thing out there in the sky? I hadn't seen that sun for a couple of weeks. It is sure nice seeing it. It is a beautiful thing to see. Obadiah, a prophecy for our time. The Old Testament book of Obadiah is nestled between the books of Amos and Jonah and consists of only one chapter of 21 verses. Let's turn over to the book of Obadiah and see what the message he has for our time. In the first sentence of verse 1, we read, "The vision of Obadiah." Who is Obadiah? Who is this Obadiah? There is much speculation among theologians as to who this person was. There is no mention within the chapter to a king or who was his father. In fact, there are 14 different Obadiahs mentioned in the Old Testament. And once again, scholars are in disagreement as to which of those other Obadiahs could be the same as the author of this book. Speculation is also made as to when this book was written, with the time of its writing spanning a few hundred years. From the context, the most likely time was after the destruction of Jerusalem at the hand of the Babylonians. So we really don't know who this Obadiah was or when it was written, but yet this book is provided for us in the pages of the Bible. Let's continue on in verse 1. "Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom." We see that this vision concerns Edom. Who was Edom? To get a little background of Edom, hold your place here in Obadiah and turn over to Genesis 25. We're all familiar with the story of Jacob and Esau when they were young, how Jacob was fixing stew and Esau came in from hunting, and how Esau was hungered and asked to have some of Jacob's stew. So, looking in verse 29 of chapter 25, we read, "Now Jacob cooked the stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary." Verse 30, "And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom." Edom, which literally means red. Edom was another name denoting Esau, the twin brother of Jacob, the sons of Isaac. We see in verse 31 how Jacob asked Esau to sell his birthright, which Esau did for the price of a bowl of soup. What is a birthright? A birthright is a blessing bestowed upon the firstborn from his father, and they will become the leader of their family in the future. They are entitled to a double portion of an inheritance, but they are also responsible for the welfare of other family members. We see that Esau did not have very much respect for this birthright or the responsibility that it entailed. In fact, it is stated that he despised it. These verses tell us a lot about the children of Isaac. And from these verses, we can learn a little more about their character at this time in their life. It seems that Esau is a bit impulsive, irresponsible, lacking in self-control, and that he did not care about his birthright, and that Jacob is a bit conniving, and not very giving towards his brother, since he wanted to be paid for something for his stew. We don't know how old they were at this time in their life, and this is probably when they were not yet, or at least when Jacob was not yet converted. We read back in Genesis 25, starting in verse 21, about their birth. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea. Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from your body. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." Verse 24, "So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau," which literally means hairy. Verse 26, "Afterward his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob," which literally means supplanter. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Isaac had been married at age 40, and it took 20 years for his sons Esau and Jacob to be born. What we also know from verses earlier in the same chapter, and also in earlier chapters of Genesis, is that Abraham would have been 160 years old at this time, for he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Abraham lived to be 175 years of age. If you refer back to verse 7 where it says he died at 175, this is in chapter 25. So Esau and Jacob would have been 15 years old when their grandfather Abraham died. They most likely would have spent many of an evening gathered around a campfire, listening to their father and grandfather tell the various adventures and amazing events in their life. They heard stories about how God had promised them wealth and prosperity. They would have heard about how their descendants would become like the sand of the sea or the stars of the heaven in number. We read in verse 23 that their descendants were to become two nations. One of these nations would be stronger than the other, and that the older Esau would serve Jacob the younger. We are familiar with Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and his 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel, and eventually the kingdom nation of Israel. These 12 tribes have grown into 12 different nations in the world today, and the population of them number into the hundreds of millions. Esau also became a nation, and that nation became known as Edom. The genealogy of Esau is noted in Genesis 36 and verse 1. Genesis 36 and verse 1. Now this is the genealogy of Esau, who is Edom. Verse 2. Esau took his wives from the daughters of Canaan: Adah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite; Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah; the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite. Verse 3. And Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. Now Adah bore Eliphaz to Esau, and Basemath bore Reuel. And Aholibamah bore Jeus, Jalam, and Korah. So we see in verses 1 through 5 that Esau had three wives: Adah a Hittite, Aholibamah a Hivite, and Basemath, the daughter of his uncle Ishmael, from which he had five sons and some daughters. The complete genealogy is listed in chapter 36. It lists out the sons and grandsons of Esau, and the sons of Eliphaz were were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. And Eliphaz also had a concubine named Timnah, and she had a son called Amalek, who became the father of the Amalekites. Esau's son Reuel had the following sons: Nahath, Zezra, Shammah, Mizah. Altogether, Esau had 5 sons and 10 grandsons. It states in verses 6 through 8 that Esau separated himself from Jacob and went to live in Mount Seir. Mount Seir is located southeast of Israel and was a mountainous region stretching between the Dead Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba. This region is near Petra and is a dry, arid, and desolate region today. They also had many occasions to sit around the campfire and hear stories from their father and grandfather about how Jacob had stolen the birthright and the blessings which were supposed to have been given to Esau. They heard how they had been wronged and that they would someday get what was rightfully theirs, or so they thought. I'm providing this information in order to provide a context for the book of Obadiah. But before we go back to Obadiah, I want to call your attention to the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob and the blessing that he gave to Esau. We are all familiar with the deception that Jacob employed to get the blessing. But let's turn back to Genesis 27 and look in verse 27. Genesis 27:27. And let's pick up midstream where Isaac is blessing Jacob. "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Isaac blessed Jacob with all the material blessings needed to thrive and prosper. He blessed him with dignity and power over his brothers and other nations, and called down a curse upon any nation who would curse and oppose him. Jacob had scarcely left Isaac's presence when Esau returned from his hunt, prepared the victuals that Isaac so desired, and brought it to him. It was at this point that the deception became known, albeit too late. Esau knew that Jacob had betrayed him and had stolen his blessing and begged his father Isaac to give him a blessing too. Let's pick up the story in verse 37. "Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, 'Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?' Esau said to his father, 'Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, my father.' And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, 'Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heaven.'" Other translations of the Bible have rendered this as "away from the fatness of the earth and away from the dew of heaven." We see that Esau's descendants would not live where there was ample water and abundant agricultural resources. Continuing in verse 40, "By your sword you shall live." Since they didn't have the blessing of rain and good agriculture, they would resort to living by the sword. Take a little water here. Resort to living by the sword through plundering and pillaging. Continuing in verse 40, and you shall serve your brother. Jacob, later to be known as Israel, would be his master. Continuing in verse 40, and it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. The phrase, when you become restless, is translated in the King James Version as, when thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. The word dominion means rulership. Edom would eventually rule Jacob. Verse 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and I will kill my brother Jacob. You can see the hatred that Esau had for Jacob. Jacob had taken advantage of him twice, and Esau wants vengeance. Isaac didn't bless Esau, but rather gave him a curse and subjected him and his descendants to a life of violence and servitude to Jacob. His hatred and vengeance was passed on down to his descendants, who would always feel that they were robbed and that they were justified in their hatred towards Israel. So, with this background in mind, let's go back to Obadiah and continue where we left off in verse 1. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, let us rise up against her for battle. Her being reference to Edom. Here we see that the nations of the earth are going to rise up in battle against Edom. Verse 2. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. This implies that they were once large and had to be made small. You shall be greatly despised. There's something about Edom, or what it has done, that makes the other nations of the world despise it. The pride of your heart has deceived you. Verse 3. Apparently the descendants of Esau had a pride issue. God hates pride. God hates vanity, as it was pride that has brought about all the world's woes. Satan rebelled because of his pride. Continuing in verse 3, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, they dwell in mountain strongholds, whose habitation is high. They live in high, hard-to-get-to locations. You who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? They speak as though they are invincible and speak pompous words. Verse 4. Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there will I bring you down, says the Lord. God is going to bring about their destruction. Verse 5. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? Edom was going to be laid bare. Nothing of value will remain. Continuing, if grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? This implies that there will be nothing left to eat them, and that they will be thoroughly devoured. Verse 6. Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasures shall be sought after. There will not be any stone left unturned. Verse 7. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. A confederacy is a group of nations with a single purpose, and Edom will have belonged to it. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Apparently, Edom's supposed allies will rise up against her. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. Those whom Edom trusted the most will conspire for her downfall. No one is aware of it. Edom will be taken completely by surprise. Verse 8. Will I not in that day, says the Lord. The phrase, in that day, is used throughout prophecy to indicate the time of the end. So now we see that this prophecy is for the time of the end. Excuse me. There are 91 references within the Old Testament from Isaiah to Malachi that refer to in that day. Most of those references apply to the time of the end when Christ will put down all enemies and begin to reign with power and might. Continuing in verse 8. Even destroy the wise men from Edom, and understanding from the mountains of Esau. The term mountains is used symbolically to refer to kingdoms or nations. Edom's descendants will have become many nations at the time of the end. Just as Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, became many nations in the end time, chief of which are the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. For those who have not read United Church of God's publication, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, please take the time to do so. It's an amazing booklet, very interesting history, that you will not see in most school textbooks. Continuing with verse 9. Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed. Teman was a grandson of Esau. To the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Mountains, plural, meaning many nations. Verse 10. For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. Here we see why Esau is being punished. It is because of violence against his brother Jacob, Israel. So we see that the descendants of Edom, many nations, will participate in violence towards Israel. And who is Israel at the end time? They are the descendants of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, or the British Commonwealth and the United States of America, respectively. Because of Edom's violence towards Jacob, they will be cut off forever. Destroyed completely. Continuing in verse 11. In the day that you stood on the other side, Edom stood on the other side. They weren't on Jacob's side. They were against Jacob. In the day that strangers carried captive his forces, speaking of a time when Jacob, Israel, is taken captive and carried away, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem. It seems that Jacob has an illegal immigration problem. Foreigners had entered into Israel through its gates, and it seems as though a lot of illegal voting is going on. casting lots. Even you were as one of them. Edom had taken sides with the enemy. He was at one with them. He had the same evil intent to destroy and plunder Israel. Verse 12. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity. A reference to the future time of Israel's punishment and captivity. Continuing, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. We see that Judah will suffer the same punishment as Israel in the end time. Nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. It appears as though Edom is always shooting off their mouth. Verse 13, you should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Edom took part of the destruction of Israel and Judah in the end time. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Edom took part in the pilfering of Israel and Judah. Verse 14. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped. Edom blocked the way of those who managed to escape. Nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. It seems Edom rounded up the few who remained in the land and delivered them to their enemy. Verse 15. For the day of the Lord upon all nations is near. We see here that the day of the Lord is at hand, another reference to the end time. As you have done, it shall be done with to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. It's because Edom had gained dominion and has at last broken the yoke of Jacob from off their neck, that they have acted out in aggression to reprise themselves of what they have always felt that they were entitled to. They have always felt that they should have received the birthright blessing, not Jacob, not Israel, and they are going to avenge themselves upon her. Verse 16, for as you drank on my holy mountain, as Edom consumed Israel, God's chosen nation, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and shall swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. Edom will become totally consumed as though they had never been. Verse 17, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. The return of Jesus Christ will come and save Mount Zion, a reference to Israel and Judah. And there shall be holiness. Why? Because God resides there. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Israel will be restored her possessions. They will be returned to their land. Verse 18, the house of Jacob shall be a fire. Israel, having been through the crucible of war, repenting of her transgressions, will be restored to preeminence among the nations, and the house of Joseph a flame. House of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Esau and his descendants, many nations, will be utterly destroyed. Verse 19, the south shall possess the mountains of Esau, and the lowland shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead. Verse 20, and the captives of this host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites, as far as Zarephath, the captives of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south. Verse 21. Then saviors shall come to Mount Zion. Saviors, plural. When Christ returns, he will come with his saints to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Christ will come and save us. He will rule the nations with a rod of iron, a rod that will never be broken. And Jesus Christ will rule from Jerusalem, and all the world will at last have peace. He will restore all things and bring salvation to the world. The book of Obadiah may be short, but it brings a powerful message against those who do evil against God's chosen people. God will punish his children for their transgressions, but woe to those who take up arms against her. Obadiah warns of the punishment and the war, but provides the hope of salvation that will follow to those who put their trust in the Lord.